Morning cold, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs.
DTF-FTL 0027. 2026, DEJA 03, DEJA 09.
In March 2019, Rich Sutton published 1,200 words on his personal website. No journal, no conference, no peer review, just a short essay called The Bitter Lesson. The AI research community largely disagreed with it. Some were irritated by it. Then GPT-3 happened, then GPT-4, then everything Sutton had predicted proved out one benchmark at a time, one order of magnitude at a time. He is the man who was right about how AI would scale, and he is now saying the current paradigm is still wrong.
That's a strong claim. Who is Rich Sutton, for listeners who don't know the name?
He is, along with Andrew Bartow, the architect of reinforcement learning as a formal discipline. They spent decades at the University of Alberta developing the conceptual and mathematical foundations that underpin how agents learn from experience. In 2024, they won the Turing Award for it. The Turing Award is computing's Nobel Prize. The citation was for developing the foundational algorithms of reinforcement learning. This is not a fringe figure. This is one of the most consequential researchers in the history of the field.
And the essay is the reason we're here.
The essay is the reason we're here. Chapter 1. 70 years. Sutton opens the essay by making a historical argument. He says that if you look at AI research over 70 years, you see the same pattern repeat in every domain without exception. Researchers try to build in human knowledge. Experts encode what they know about chess, about language, about vision. It works, short term, then it loses, long term every time. To approaches that, just use more computation.
Give me the chess case.
Chess is 1997. Deep Blue beats Kasparov. The framing at the time was that IBM had built a machine that understood chess. That it encoded grandmaster knowledge, openings, endgame tables, positional heuristics refined over decades. And that framing was partly true. But what actually won was brute force search. The ability to evaluate hundreds of millions of positions per second. The human knowledge components helped, but they were not what made the difference. What made the difference was computation.
And the researchers who built knowledge-based systems?
Sutton's phrase is that they were not good losers. When brute force methods won, they didn't update their worldview. They found reasons why it didn't count. They said it wasn't real intelligence. They said the approach wouldn't generalize. They defended their work, and then the same pattern played out again.
Where?
Go. Same story, delayed 20 years. Go was supposed to be the game where human intuition was irreplaceable. Where the search space was too large for brute force, where pattern recognition built from deep knowledge of the game was the only viable path. Researchers built programs encoding Go's strategy. Yoseki sequences, influence, shape, territory. They worked, they improved, they kept losing to programs that just searched harder and learned more from self-play. AlphaGo and its successors didn't win by understanding Go the way humans do. They won by learning to play Go the way gradient descent learns anything, by processing enormous amounts of experience.
Speech recognition, that's the third case.
Speech recognition is instructive, because the early approach was extremely sophisticated. Researchers built models of the vocal tract. They encoded phonemes, co-articulation effects, how different phones sound when surrounded by different phones. hidden Markov models with carefully designed emission distributions. The knowledge was real and hard-won. Statistical methods that made fewer assumptions won. The models that said, "I do not know what speech is, let me find out from data," outperformed the models that encoded what phoneticians had learned over generations.
And vision.
Vision is perhaps the clearest case. The field spent years building better feature detectors. Edges, sift features, histograms of oriented gradients, deformable parts models, generalized cylinders. Researchers were encoding what human vision scientists had learned about how the visual cortex works. Deep learning threw all of it away. It did not use edges, it did not use sift, it did not use any of the representations that vision researchers had spent careers refining. It learned its own representations from data, and it worked better than everything that came before.
Sutton is not saying those researchers were stupid.
No. He is saying they were human. The human instinct is to use what you know. When you understand something about a problem, you want to encode that understanding. The bitter lesson is that this instinct, however understandable, keeps losing to methods that leverage computation instead of knowledge.
The lesson being, computation scales, knowledge doesn't.
That is the lesson. Chapter 2, The Two Methods. Sutton identifies exactly two methods that scale without ceiling, search and learning. These are the methods that improve proportionally as computation increases, without a natural stopping point. Every other approach hits a wall.
Why just those two?
Because they leverage computation directly. When you double the compute available to a search algorithm, it searches twice as far. When you double the data and compute available to a learning algorithm, the model gets better in a predictable way. Neither of these methods requires you to encode human understanding. They discover structure from the problem itself.
Compare that to expert systems.
Expert systems encode rules that humans write. They improve when experts write better rules. The quality of the system is bounded by the quality of the human knowledge that goes into it. Doubling your hardware doesn't help you if your rules are wrong, and rules are always, at some level, an approximation.
What about things like constitutional AI or chain of thought as a fixed architectural choice?
They hit the same ceiling. Constitutional AI encodes human values as rules, chain of thought, when it is treated as a template to be filled in rather than a behavior to be learned, encodes a particular reasoning structure that humans designed. Both approaches import human knowledge into the system in ways that cap the upside. They work. They improve things, and then the pure learning approaches, given enough compute, surpass them.
The argument is almost uncomfortably deterministic.
It is. Sutton is not saying knowledge-based methods are useless. He is saying that in the long run, they always lose to methods that discover what they need rather than being told what to know. The evidence over 70 years is consistent. There are no counterexamples that held up.
That's the uncomfortable part for researchers who spend careers building in knowledge.
It is a direct challenge to a way of doing science. It says, the thing you're building, however clever it is, will eventually be surpassed by a method that is less clever and more computational. That is hard to accept. Chapter 3, The Second Lesson. There is a second lesson in the essay that gets less attention. It follows from the first, but it's distinct. Sutton says that the contents of minds are irredeemably complex. Don't try to represent them. Build in meta-methods that can discover them instead.
Unpack that.
When researchers try to build AI systems that understand space, they encode representations of space, three dimensions, objects, distances, relative positions. When they try to build systems that understand agents, they encode theory of mind, models of beliefs and intentions. These things are not simple. Space as we experience it, objects as we categorize them, social dynamics as we navigate them. These are extraordinarily complex phenomena that evolution spent hundreds of millions of years building representations for. The idea that we can hand-encode them cleanly is, Sutton says, wrong.
What's the alternative?
Build meta methods. Build systems that discover how to represent space rather than systems that come equipped with a representation of space. Build systems that learn what an object is from experience rather than systems told in advance what objects are. The discovery is the point. Sutton's line on this is precise. We want AI agents that can discover like we can, not which contain what we have discovered.
That's a meaningful distinction.
It's the whole thing. If you build in what you have discovered, you cap the system at your own understanding. If you build in the capacity to discover, the system is not bounded by what you already know.
This applies to current systems.
Directly. Every time a researcher adds a module that encodes some human knowledge, every time a training procedure is designed to steer a model toward a human legible concept, you are, by Sutton's argument, trading short-term gains for long-term ceiling. The meta method that would discover the concept without being steered toward it will win in the end.
Even if the steered approach gets there faster?
Even then, that is the bitterness of the lesson. Chapter 4. What LLMs get wrong.
So where do large language models fall in this picture? They seem like they should satisfy the bitter lesson. They're trained on enormous amounts of data with massive compute.
They partially embody it. That's Sutton's position from 2025. LLMs got the scale right. They are not expert systems. They are not hand-coded. They leverage computation in the way the lesson prescribes, and that's why they work as well as they do. But they still get something fundamentally wrong.
Which is?
The training-deployment divide. LLMs are trained in a laboratory, frozen and shipped. The weights are fixed at the moment of release. The model you interact with today is not learning from that interaction. It cannot update when it encounters something unexpected. It cannot be surprised in a way that changes its behavior.
It's static.
It is static, and Sutton's critique is that this is exactly the laboratory model that doesn't work. He puts it starkly, next token prediction is not a goal. Tokens come at you. Predicting them doesn't change them. There is no feedback loop. The system cannot try something and discover whether it worked.
What does a feedback loop require?
Ground truth, a reward signal, some consequence that flows back from the action. When a human says something and the person they're talking to responds in a way that's unexpected, the human updates. Maybe they recalibrate their model of the other person. Maybe they learn that a particular type of argument doesn't land. The feedback is continuous and immediate. LLMs have none of this during inference. They predict the next token with no mechanism to discover whether that prediction was right or useful or true in any meaningful sense.
RLHF adds some feedback.
RLHF adds feedback during training. Human raters score outputs, the model updates, but then it's frozen again. And the feedback it received was human preferences, which is another form of imported human knowledge. Sutton's critique isn't that RLHF is wrong in isolation, it's that the whole paradigm, train in a lab, freeze the weights, deploy, is the wrong structure.
The scalable method, as Sutton would put it.
His line is, the scalable method is you learn from experience. You try things. You see what works. No one has to tell you. That is not what LLMs do. They are told extensively by human raters and annotators and the accumulated text of human civilization. That telling is what the bitter lesson says will lose in the long run.
But they're winning right now.
They are winning right now. Sutton is not disputing the current performance of LLMs. He is predicting that the training deployment paradigm will plateau. That the architecture of a frozen model is a fundamental constraint, not an engineering problem that can be solved by adding more parameters or better fine-tuning. The ceiling is structural.
He might be wrong about that.
He might be. He was wrong about timelines before and right about direction. The question is whether the structural critique holds and whether anyone is building the alternative. Chapter 5. Keen and Carmack.
That brings us to Keen Technologies.
It does. John Carmack left Meta in 2022. He had been running the VR research effort at Meta, working on Quest, thinking about the metaverse. He left to start Keen Technologies with the explicit goal of building AGI, not advancing AI, building AGI. He raised $20 million from Nat Friedman, Patrick Collison, Sequoia, others, and he started working.
That's not a lot of money relative to the big labs.
It is not. OpenAI, Anthropic, Google DeepMind are operating at orders of magnitude more capital. Keen is a small team in Dallas. Carmack's argument is that the problem doesn't require massive scale. That the right architecture, correctly designed, can demonstrate what he calls signs of life without requiring the resources of a nation state. Whether that's right is an open question.
And then Sutton joined.
Carmack announced a partnership with Sutton in September 2023. Sutton joined as a research scientist in 2024 after retiring from the University of Alberta. Carmack's description of the alignment is precise. Rich and I both stand somewhat outside the mainstream with a focus on agency and the temporal as central themes. Agency and the temporal, not language modeling, not next token prediction. The focus is on agents that act in time.
What does Sutton's architecture look like?
Four components. First, policy. Given the current state of the world, what action should I take? The policy is adjusted continuously via trial and error. Not trained once and frozen, continuously adjusted. Second, value function. This is temporal difference learning. The technique Sutton and Bartow developed, the value function predicts long-term outcomes and bootstraps sparse rewards into dense intermediate signals. You don't need a reward on every step. The value function propagates information about eventual outcomes backward through time.
And the third and fourth?
Perception constructs state representations from raw sensory input. The agent doesn't receive pre-labeled objects and categories. It receives raw signals and must learn what to make of them, and world model predicts the consequences of actions. If the agent does this, what will happen next? The world model is learned from all sensations, not just the ones that lead to rewards. The agent is modeling its environment continuously from everything it experiences.
The key difference from a deployed LLM is that all four of these are live.
All four update during normal operation, not in a lab, during the agent's actual interaction with the world. The training-deployment divide disappears because there is no deployment, only continuous operation. The agent learns the way an animal learns. Be living.
Sutton's phrase for what they're targeting?
Long-lived computational agents that interact with a vastly more complex world and come to predict and control their sensory input signals. The target date is 2030. The goal is, as Carmack puts it, establishing, advancing, and documenting AGI signs of life. Chapter 6. The uncomfortable question.
Here's the tension. Sutton has been right before. The bitter lesson vindicated him against, essentially, the entire field. That should buy him some credibility when he says the current paradigm is wrong.
It should, and it raises an uncomfortable question for everyone building in the current paradigm.
Which is?
Every major AI lab is building the things Sutton says will plateau. OpenAI is scaling transformers. Anthropic is scaling transformers. Google is scaling transformers. Meta is scaling transformers. They are competing on parameters, on data, on inference efficiency, on RLHF quality, on context window length. These are all improvements to the frozen model train in a lab paradigm. If Sutton is right, they are all building a local maximum.
A local maximum with genuinely impressive capabilities.
Yes, that's what makes this hard. GPT-4, Claude 3, Gemini. These are not failures. They are extraordinary tools. The question isn't whether they are useful. The question is whether scaling them further gets you to AGI, or whether you eventually hit a wall that the architecture cannot get past.
What does Sutton say hits the wall?
Anything that requires genuine understanding accumulated over time. Anything that requires updating beliefs based on experience. Not retrieved context, actual updates to what the model knows anything that requires acting in the world and learning from the consequences of those actions. The frozen model paradigm handles context windows. It handles retrieval. It does not handle the thing that living systems do, which is change in response to experience.
But we don't know if AGI requires that.
We do not. That's the honest answer. Sutton is making a bet, a reasoned bet, grounded in decades of research and a track record of being right about scaling. But it is a bet. LLMs might scale all the way to AGI. Emergent capabilities might continue emerging at each order of magnitude. The wall might never come.
The question is whether anyone is seriously trying the alternative.
That is the question. The answer, as best as I can determine, is one company with $20 million. In Dallas. The rest of the field is running the experiment that Sutton says won't work, and running it at a scale that makes it very difficult to argue with in the short term. Keen Technologies is running the other experiment. If they fail, the frozen model camp wins by default. If they succeed, if they produce something that demonstrably learns and adapts in a way frozen models cannot, the field will look back at this moment the way it looks back at the chess researchers who were not good losers.
History doesn't repeat, but it rhymes.
It rhymes with unusual fidelity in this field.
What's the timeline for knowing?
Carmack says 2030 for signs of life. That's 4 years from now. Either Keen produces something compelling by then, or the scale-up of frozen models produces something so capable that the structural critique becomes moot. We will know one way or the other in the near term.
Last thing. Sutton spent his career building reinforcement learning, which is already inside the systems the big labs are using for RLHF. Does he think that counts?
No. RLHF uses reinforcement learning as a post-training alignment tool. It is still training in a lab and then freezing. The reinforcement learning Sutton cares about is continuous online learning during deployment. Agents that update their policies in real time from the consequences of their actions indefinitely without stopping. Using RL to produce a frozen model is, from Sutton's perspective, using the right tool for the wrong job.
He's not claiming credit for what the big labs are doing.
He is explicitly not claiming credit for it as the realization of his vision. The 2024 Turing Award was for the foundations of RL. What the big labs are doing with RLHF is a legitimate use of those foundations, but it is not the thing Sutton built toward. The thing he built toward is Keen.
Dispatches from the edge.
Dispatches from the edge.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS, that's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find daily tech feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.